Okay, again, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4 through 17. And I read the first verse, and you read the second one, and so on. All the way down to verse 17, verse 4 through 17. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah were come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, Go down to thy house, and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king's. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all his servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife, as thou livest and as thy soul livest? I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, Set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Let us pray at this time. Lord, we thank you again for the reading of thy word, and we thank you, Lord, for blessing being church tonight. We ask, Father, that you please now bestow a great blessing upon us tonight through the preaching of thy word. We ask, dear Lord, you please fill our paths with the Holy Spirit of God, that you give him power and liberty to bring forth thy word. Open our hearts and minds to receive, Lord, tonight, and may, Lord, you bless in a special way. We pray you save souls and change lives and encourage Christians, and we ask these things in Christ's name. We do pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Meeting chance. Church, say amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Appreciate all the wonderful music today, and special music, congregational music, and we just thank God for all of it. Praise the Lord for the solos, and Sister Camille did a wonderful job singing a solo this morning, my without the piano, and thank God for it. And you can listen to these. We're going to get them on the you know, website. There are those songs there that they sing before the preaching. I want you to listen to them. Somebody called me from out of state today. I got a phone call, the person was so encouraged, you know, from out of state to be able to get the messages. Encourage yourself. You can download them on your computer and your phones and listen to the sermon and get all that you can get. And I enjoy listening to the singing that ministers to my heart. But I can listen to that all week long. Get all that God has for you. I mean, there's a lot of junk on the internet. You can start listening to some good stuff. And a lot of times I listen to preaching. Hey, listen, I'll just miss something, but it'll be there to help me. Let me encourage you to listen to it. www.gbbc.us. Okay, so remember that. And this thing of Grace Bible Baptist Church.us, United States. So thank the Lord. Praise the Lord for him. And I want you to use these tools for God. And what a blessing it is to have these tools for the Lord. And so quickly, they can download that sermon on their computer and on their phone that quick. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, Second Samuel here. And we're going to be talking about tonight, Uriah. His faith wasn't in vain. I mean, here's a good man. Here's a loyal man. Here's a man that loved God and loved the Lord. And some people need to understand this tonight. And I want to encourage you. And you're doing right. And thank God for your goodness. And sometimes you wonder, well, why does bad things happen to good people, we might ask. And you heard me say many times, and I try to remind you, I don't understand why any good things happen to us bad people. I mean, I don't know why God's been so good to us, but he is. He's wonderful to us. But sometimes bad things do happen to good people. And I want us to learn some things tonight, and hopefully I can help you and to appreciate the grace of God and the mercy of God and God's goodness. And also to encourage you to keep on keeping on when everything don't work out the way you thought it should work out, and encourage you to see how God's going to bless you and your future and heaven and eternity, and how God is going to bless you even in this life as you go through some difficult things that happen to you when you're doing right. Samuel in chapter 11, and I want you to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you to look on the Bible with somebody, or just listen real well here in verse 2 here. And it came to pass at eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife?" Now underline this: the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Let me hear you say Hittite. And so this was the wife of Uriah the who? The Hittite. I want you to remember that. That's going to be very important tonight, that you may understand the Bible more fully, why God put it there. Look at verse 4. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned to the house, and the woman conceived. So he got her pregnant, an adulterous situation here. And a good man. The king took advantage of his power, abused his power. And you know about the downfall of King David because of all of this, and the bad things that happened to him because of all this. You know that, many of you. If you don't know that, you study your Bible and you learn it, and you will see it more and more as you read it. And the Bible says here, and it said, I'm with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the," there it is, God put it there again, "Uriah the who?" Say it. Hittite. Hittite. So you want to underline that or highlight it. Look at verse 6. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. This is amazing to me. And David's talking to one of his right-hand men. David is talking to one of his best pals. This is amazing. He just stole his wife. He just committed adultery. And got this man's wife pregnant. It just blows my mind how deceitful the heart and people don't understand what sin will do. It's amazing, isn't it? Here's a good man, and he's talking to him. And look what the Bible says here. And David said to Uriah, verse 8, go down to thy house, wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. He gave him some steaks, some sirloins maybe, some New York strip steaks. How about that, huh? He just stole his wife behind his back, gets her pregnant, and trying to butter him up to go home, to have a romantic affair with his wife, to make it look like he got her pregnant. That's dirty pool, isn't it? Look what the Bible says here. Look what the Bible says here. It's amazing. I want us to keep up with it here. And the Bible says, But Uriah slept at the door of the what? King's house with his what? Servants of his Lord. He said, I'll sleep with the slaves. I'm not going home with my wife in that wonderful, nice bed. Perfume. Beautiful housing. Comfort zone. He said, I will not do it. I just will not do it. The Bible says here, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house. The door, outside the door. The king's house. With all the servants of his Lord. Where slaves sleep. Where slaves slept. And the Bible says it went not down to his house. Look at verse 10. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Look what he says here. He said, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? It's a long journey. You're tired. You're out there in battle. It's a long journey. Aren't you tired? Go on home and sleep with your wife. Look at this good man said in verse 11. Look at this good man, verse 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 11. And Uriah said unto David, the ark of God in Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my Lord Joab and the servants of my Lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Look what he said here, friend. He said, I cannot go home and have a good time with my wife right now. He said, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. Look at that verse 11. The ark. The word of God in the ark. God's word. He loved God's word. He loved God. He loved God. Maybe, most likely, matter of fact, I won't even say maybe or most likely. To me, it looks like he loved God more than David did. He loved God more than the king of Israel did. Even though he wasn't king. Even though he didn't have all the blessings that maybe David had. This man was so in tune with God and walked with God and Israel and God's people. He loved God and he loved God's people. He was a lover of God and a lover of God's people. This was a holy man. This was a man of character. This was a man of zeal for God and a love to serve God, to not even go home in his wonderful house and to sleep with slaves. And not to go home because what's on his mind, the word of God is in jeopardy. The enemy is fighting. They're going to take over Israel. They're going to take over my nation. They're going to kill people. And I want to go to war. And I want to fight for my nation. I will not go home with my wife. I will die for my country. I will die for the word of God, David. I will not go and sleep with my wife. And I will not do it. He did not know David was trying to trick him to go home so he can have a romantic affair with his wife. You boys spread out, sons. You boys spread out, spread out. Put you up front. Spread out, spread out, spread out. Matter of fact, I told you, you count two, three, two, number two people, third. If I say three, you got the fourth. Matter of fact, come on up to the second one. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry, 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 hurry. Come on, second people, right in front of me. If I ask you guys what chapter I'm in, I'm wondering if you know it. Hurry, hurry, guys. Right in front of me. Hurry up. Good. Come on, have a seat. Open your Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Spread out some. Good. Spread on out some. Great. Now listen to me. Pay attention to what's going on tonight. You need this. Every one of us needs it. And you boys ought to be example to this young boy that just got baptized. Amen. 2 Samuel in chapter 11. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says here, "Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do it." Look at the character. And by the way they fought in battles, by the way, how would you like to get, and you're on a horse, or you're, they're on a horse, and you take a sword and chop somebody's head off, or they chop your head off? You remember that way they used to provide? Remember the way they used to take that spear? You've seen them old ones, and they drove the spear right through their body. How would you like to go out there and fight that way? How would I like to fight? You'll see them, hey, like a bunch of wild people looking at you, running after each other with chains and knives and swords and cutting each other all apart. He chose that over sleeping with his wife and going back home. He loved this country. He loves God. And thank God for every one of you that fight. Others may sit, but you fight. You go soul winning. Others may sit, but you fight. You get on a bus route and you drive a bus to pick up those kids and you brought them to church this morning and you fight. And others sit down and they're bench warmers and you teach that class and you fight and you work in that nursery and you fight and you clean the building and you fight and you tithe and you give and you financially you struggle. And you throw that $50 in, you throw that $100, while others are out stinking, eating and drinking, and tomorrow will die. They don't care about tomorrow. They're not thinking about heaven. They're not thinking about next month. They're not thinking one day they're going to be married. They're not thinking about their wrecked life. They're not thinking about their wrecked children. They're not thinking about their kids going to hell. They're not thinking about their homes being divorced and wrecked and ruined. They're not thinking about their failure. All they're thinking about tonight. Tonight, living for themselves, indulging in their sin. Who cares about pleasing God? Who cares? You sit while others pass out tracts in the supermarket. You drive by the streets. Sister Barnett invited this wonderful couple here tonight and invited them, took time out to stop and invite them to church. And some of you have been, look up here, look up at me. Some of you have not even invited one person for the whole week. You pass by people in the doctor's office. You pass by people in the nurses. You pass by people in the supermarket. You pass by. Uriah wasn't that way. He's a good man. He was a good man. He was a dedicated man. He was no bench warmer. Sooner or later, you ought to make sure you get in the battle. We need more to get in the battle. How sit you here while your brother's in war? Wonder why all kind of hell breaks loose. Make every excuse why you can't serve God. make excuses why you cannot be faithful to church. Some people can't be faithful to church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, three basic services. Can't be faithful to that. There are people in this room can't even read their Bible, can't even read a God's love letter, and God said you prosper if you meditate in His Word day and night. If you read and meditate in that book day and night, you prosper. And God, people can't even meditate, can't even read the Bible. People can't even talk with the God of the universe. He said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He said, call upon me, and I'll show thee great and mighty. He said, spend time with me. Some of you can't even spend 5 minutes with God alone. Talk with Him. Pray to Him. Spend time with Him. May we be like Uriah, go get us for God. Whatever happens, if we die like Uriah, help us to be go-getters of God. Rather die serving God than die doing nothing. I said I'd rather die in the battle of the Lord rather than being a sticking bench warmer doing nothing. We're all going to die. I'd rather die serving God. May I go out in flames of fire serving God. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we're talking about Uriah. Was his faith in vain? Of course, he died. David, eventually we're going to see that David had him killed. But was his faith in vain? Was caring about the ark in vain? Was it a wasted life? Like some people think it was. Was it a waste serving God? 2 Samuel chapter 11. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. In verse 12, and David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, tomorrow. I will let thee depart. What was David up to now? Come stay in the king's house with me. He just committed adultery with the man's wife. He just got his wife pregnant. And he's got a scheme. He does not want people to find out that he got his wife pregnant. If I can just get this man to his wife. If I can just get him to hook up with her. And they can have a romantic relationship. And then he can look at that baby and say, look at my beautiful baby. Y'all pray for me. Holy Spirit's helping me. God's giving me things here tonight. He, like many, would come up with something because he's a king and he's got an image, you know. He doesn't want people to find out that he took a good man's wife. He don't want people to find out how low he is and how slimy he is to have a sexual relationship with a good man's wife. So he's thinking of all different ways to get out of his trouble. His goal is that he wants him to think that this baby's his. And it's sad. It's sad. Some of you have looked at that baby and you says, that's not their baby. That's not their baby. The milkman they've been playing around, but that's not their baby. Mm-mm, ain't no way there. I don't see nothing to mama or daddy. Might be somebody else around. Somebody say amen. Now, all cases not like that, but there are cases where you can tell it's evident that is not that man's baby. And by the way, that woman knows it. And that man who got her pregnant knows it. Some of you already know cases of such like that. You know, you can't hide things from God. Come on, somebody say that. Might as well just confess up. Might as well just go ahead and come clean with God. It works out better when we come clean. I've sinned. Sooner or later, he's going to have to say it. Sooner or later, he's going to say, okay, I surrender, God. And all right? After AIDS, after gonorrhea, after God strikes his baby dead, Hello? Hell, after God deals with him, and he gets sick, and he's about to die, okay, hands up, you know it. Hello? He comes clean, all right? But at this time, David isn't coming clean. He's hiding his sin. You know what I'm saying? Hiding sin. He that hideth sin won't prosper. He that confesseth forsaketh will prosper. Did you know people talk during the sermon to hide their sin? Did you know they tell jokes and laugh and scorn while they preach to hide their sin? Are you aware they look at their phones to hide their sin? Are you aware they tune me out on their phones? Do you know they're trying to tune God out? I told you this morning they come to church for different reasons. And my message was, get more of what you came for. Some don't even come because they love God. Some come because they're trying to please a girl. Trying to get a girl. Trying to please a boy. Trying to get a boy. Some come for their parents and thank God for it. But the sooner or later, I told you, they don't care. They're going to break their parents' heart. They're going to get their sin. They better learn to love God. I already told you, some of them have cut their mother's throat and killed them. The mother was the best friend. So some boy stole the heart. Got an attitude against your mama. She's trying to save you from stinking all kind of hell life. Because you can't have the boy you want. Pastor's not for the boy. You dating the boy. Pastor gives his life to you. You start getting a bad attitude about the pastor now. Sunday school. Teacher. But thank God people love you. Let the church say amen. But thank God your mama love you. Amen. Amen. Thank God. God puts people in your life to love you. Don't let nobody take your heart away. Amen. Don't you notice what the Bible says here? Look what the Bible says here. Look what the Bible says here. And so, the Bible says here, David said to Uriah, tarry here today also and tomorrow. I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. Verse 13, and when David had called him, he did what? He did eat and what? Drink before him. Now underline this. He made him what? Now God is not for this, but he puts it in the Bible how you can mess a good man up. You hear me? Woe unto the person, the Bible says, to give your neighbor strong drink. Amen. He knew the scripture. What about Proverbs? Hey, what about Proverbs 23? Don't look on the wine when it starts to move. And just say people know. They don't supposed to be messing with that liquor. Amen. Hello? Amen. And here is David doing his best to get this man so drunk that he would be out of his mind to want to. Usually a man starts thinking about a, the Bible says they start thinking about a woman and they start wanting to have the sexual relationship. By the way, do you understand that's the reason why the guy gives the girl some wine? Loosen up, babe. That's what he says. Why? Why? Is she sick, Camille? Is Deanna sick? Okay. Okay, she's sick. I understand. I want to make sure she stays awake. If you can just try to keep her awake. I want you to get all you can if you can, Deanna. Because the devil doesn't want nobody to hear this. He wants you to hear. But listen to me. Girls, you have no idea. And that's why on their prom night, they lose. They went all through their grades being a virgin. They lost their virginity. That guy put the alcohol in her. Give her some beer. Give her some, loosen up. Give her some wine. That boy starts smoking his weed, puffing on that dope, bring a little beer, and he gets all wanting to do it. And a lot of times, sometimes that was the first time having sex with that boy, and she gets pregnant. And that's where the murder comes in, the killing of the baby. And some of them thank God they don't kill the baby, but they keep the baby, and praise God for that. But there's a lot of hardship that comes that way. But thank God they didn't kill the baby. So his aim is to just put this liquor in him, alcohol in him, get him so drunk where he goes home, has sex with his wife, and lo and behold, he sobers up and says, "Well, we have a baby." A good man, though. How many good men are corrupted by somebody else? Don't you let nobody get you drunk, not even the king. Are you hearing me? Don't you let nobody get you drunk, not even the king. Look what the Bible says here. And he made him drunk. And by the way, can I say this? How many people you know, they're crazy. Some people you think about someone right now, they're crazy because somebody put something in their drink. We know a case tonight for sure. And you know, many of you know the person. And a matter of fact, he has told the church that somebody put something in his drink. Matter of fact, we might as well just say it. Brother, he is a minor. He said it himself. We got to stay after him, try to help him, encourage him. Say his name, Brother Johnson. James. James Thompson. Brother James Thompson. We love him. He's already told the church. He's been through hospitalizations. That man's been through so much. Who knows what David may have put in his drink? Who knows? Get them all, put some in there and make them high. Hello? We don't know what people may. Who knows what somebody will do to get what they want? Isn't that right? And so look what the Bible says here. In verse 13, and when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his wife. But he's drunk as a skunk. If a skunk get drunk, the Bible says drunk. But if it, not the skunk part. But some people say drunk as a skunk. I don't know where that comes from, but I've never seen a drunk skunk. Don't want to see one. Somebody say amen. But the man had enough sense. Hey! Even though he's drunk, he said, I am not going home with my wife. I am not going. The ark is there. The people of God are there. The nation is jeopardy. And he staggered and drunk. Said, I ain't going home. It didn't work. It didn't work, friends. It didn't work for this man. Look at the Bible says here. Okay. Verse 14, and it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab. Okay. All that stuff failed. And sent it by the hand of Uriah. Verse 14. Look what it says here. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab. Okay. And sent it by the hand of what? Now this is wicked. This is slimy. Friends, are you getting the picture now? David's tried everything he can do not to have this guy killed. This is his best man. One of his best men. But this is where sin will take you. This is where sin will take me if we're not careful. He is carrying his execution note and not even knowing it. In his hands is a letter to have him killed. And David puts it. Sent by the hand of who? Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye who? Uriah in the what? Forefront of the what? Now find out where those heads are getting chopped off. Find out where those God's people are getting swords by the wicked devil's crowd in their heart. Make sure you put them where that sword is going to get them. Where they're going to kill them. Make sure on the front lines. Brother, they said when the United States hit that shore, and I'm telling you, you read about them battles, and you seen them battles, and you read about them battles. Their heads were getting blown apart. Their bodies, some of them never even made it out of the boat. Blood all in the water. And by the way, they knew it. We stand in freedom because of those precious ones. They had no chance. I mean, bullets were just blowing their heads off. They couldn't even pick up their arms and legs. And that's what David said to do to Uriah. Sin to take us places we never wish we would ever been. Sin to cause us to do things we never thought we would do. Sin to bring us in a condition that we never wish we ever were headed to. Sin. Sin, the pleasures of sin for a little while. The Bible says here that in verse 15, and retire ye from him, back off from him in verse 15, that he may be smitten and die. In other words, don't put anybody by him to protect him. Just back off from him. Verse 16, and it came to pass when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that what? He knew that there were some stronger men. He knew these men were so strong and so mighty. He knew these guys were men of war and he would have a chance. In verse 17, and the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David. Now underline this. And Uriah the what? And the Uriah the Hittite what? Died also. David had him killed. That's where sin brought him. To become a murderer. Sin. An adulterous act. Made David a murderer. I can't explain it to you. The people that have played around with sin. Some have stabbed their own brothers and sisters. That's what sin has brought some of them to do. Strangle them and kill them. Shoot them. Sin has caused men to kill their wives and strangle them. Their wives and strangle their husbands. Sin has called parents to kill their kids. Sin! Sin has caused children to steal from their mother. Sin! It's devastating. Sin is destructive. Sin we must hate. Sin we must flee. Sin flirting around tonight. Tonight. Choosing what they're doing rather than coming to church. You don't know where that's going to drive them to do. If they don't catch themselves before it's too late. It all starts when they live for themselves and not God and get comfortable. And David, he didn't want to be busy. You got to be careful. You get tired. Okay, no bus route, no bus, no sewing, and no church. I want to take a break. And I'm telling you, more people destroy their lives when they quit on God. The idle mind is a devil's workshop. He didn't know it was going to lead him to be a murderer. He didn't know it would lead him to kill one of his best. Okay, I'm going to show you what he... You don't think he's one of his best men? Okay. Turn to... You already seen how good man he is. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. You don't think he was one of his right-hand men? Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 23. These, verse 8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David what? Had. Okay, let's see. Let's see if he's on the list. Look at verse 39. Uriah the who? Is he on the list? Is he on the list? Yeah, he's there, isn't he? Turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 11. 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles in chapter 11. 1 Chronicles in chapter 11. Verse 10. These also are the chief of the mighty men who what? David had what? There's this whole bunch of lists, miracles these men did. Yeah, we ain't got time to read about the miracles they did. By the way, they were miracles. I advise you to read about these men. But let's see if Uriah... By the way, these men did supernatural things to save the king's head. To save Israel. Look at here in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 41. Is he on the list? Uriah the what? Uriah the who? Uriah the who? There he is, Uriah the Hittite. There he is, mighty man. Man of faith. And I told you, man of character. I told you, this man loved God. This not the question tonight. It was his faith in vain. Here he is. He loves God. Here he is. He's loyal to the king. Here he is. And he's murdered. Is his faith in vain? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something we need with this man hands here tonight. I want you to know this was Uriah the who? Uriah the who? The Hittites and all these ites. You read in your Bible, God said, kill these nasty, stinking, dirty people. Filthy people. He said, you go in there, you make sure you kill every one of them. Let me tell you something. I thank God for the grace of God. I'd be in hell if it wasn't for God. Uriah said, I love God. I will serve God. It's by the grace of God I have my wife. It's by the grace of God I have this Jewish woman. It's by the grace of God I become a child of God. I'm talking about thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God He saves Uriah the Hittite. Let me tell you something. Stop wondering why bad things happen to you. You better ask why God feeds you. Why God calls you. Why do you have the car you have? Why do you have the house you have? Why do you have the house you have? Why do you have the wife you have? I don't deserve the blessing of God. I don't deserve all the blessings that God has brought in my life. You praise God for every year you had your daddy. You praise God for every year you had your mommy. Ain't time to quit on God, throw in the towel, and wonder why bad things happen to good people. God gave you that daddy all those years. God gave you that mama all your years. God gave that grandpa, and some of them are mad at God, hate God, walk out on God. And I'm telling you something, we need what Uriah had. May God help us. May God help us. I'm quitting my bus route. I'm quitting my soul. My mama died. My dad died. I want you to love your dad. I want you to love your mama. But I want you to know I was here serving God in Knoxville. And my mother dropped dead. My wife will tell you I couldn't be by her side. Holy Spirit's helping me tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, people praying for your preacher. There's no way I can be talking and preaching about these things if God didn't help me with His Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. If she, my wife, I tell you, I want to be by her side. I want to be here right by her. And I love my mama. And I miss my mama. And I want to be by her side. I said, my brother, I'll come up there in Connecticut. You tell me I need to be here. She said, No. He said, is she going to be leaving the hospital? Everything's fine. Got a phone call. Something happened. She had a heart attack in the hospital. Something happened. I don't know what happened in the hospital. Something went wrong. It still was, you call it a freak accident. No. No, for some reason, God said, this is it. And my heart is so broken, my heart so hurt, so much tears in my life. Did I stop working the bus route? No. Did I stop preaching? No. Did I say, get mad at God? No. I thank God for all the years I had my mama. She wasn't all she's supposed to be. And thank God, she stopped drinking in later years, but got a hold of her health. And some of you in situations like that, but I tell you, I thank God for every good thing my mama did. Thank God we didn't have much. We didn't have what you had. But I'm telling you, I had my mama. She was right there for me. She didn't walk out on me. My wife, I tell you, my dad dropped dead while I was in during my break and having a break like this Thanksgiving break, a Christmas break, and I went right back to college. My wife, I tell you, she knows the heartache of this preacher to keep on going by the grace of God. And she's seen how I, with the help of the Lord, and my brother got shot in a random shooting, in a racial shooting right in the heart by a sniper shooter while they were on the break of the Marine. And let me tell you something, and I kept on preaching and told you that morning I got back up after leaving Connecticut and preached and went 18 hours back and preached and with a broken heart and came back 18 hours on the highway, all those hours. Brother Burl, you know how it is going to Atlanta, 3 hours away, but 18 hours the devil's saying, why would God allow these bad things to happen to you? And I say to you, and I say to the devil tonight, I thank God for the years I had with my brother Mark. I thank God for the years. Thank God I was able to lead him to Christ. Thank God I was able to pray with him. Thank God I was able to hug him during Christmas time. And I hugged him and loved him and cared about him. Yeah. My wife would tell you, I can hear him say, Rob, you're here. Go down to the deep projects and the dungeons of the stinking ghetto of New Britain, Connecticut, and the filth and the scum of the poverty and the dope and all the sin. Go down to the dungeon of the basement of a troubled brother. See what sin was doing to him. Remember him accepting Christ as a Savior. Somebody say praise God with him. My heart torn in two to see my brother died and cirrhosis of the liver. My sister died. I fed her with my family. I tell you, we went down to visit her love there and fed her in her mouth with spoons of soup where she couldn't even feed herself, hardly shaking in the convalescent home, being in her, I call her younger age because of her health failing with the old people. And I watched my brother die of cirrhosis of the liver. And I love my mother-in-law to this day, miss her. My wife misses her, and my father-in-law and misses them. And death has come across our lives. And I thank God every time we had with our, my mother-in-law and with my wife had their mama. Thank God, praise God for all the time that my kids had with grandpa and grandma and had time with my father-in-law. Let me tell you something. My brother, let me tell you something. Uriah Hittite had the attitude. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be faithful to God if it cost me my life. If it would whatever happens, I'll still serve God. I'll still love God. This pansy, stinking, little, wimpy type of religion. Walk out on God because things don't go your way. We need people like the Apostle Paul says, if I get sick with affliction, with thorn in my flesh, I ain't quitting. I'm going to do it for God. By the grace of God, I am that I am. We need somebody to be like a John the Baptist that says, I don't care. You may get mad at me. Hell, it's wrong to have that woman. You're committing adultery, Herod. And let that stinking little nasty little pansy girl shake her body in front of them wicked men and dance around and let her act like a stinking heathen and say, give me the head. Mama, what do you want? Mama, that wicked mother said, give me the head of John the Baptist. John the Baptist! Who baptized Jesus? John the Baptist. Who stood against adultery? John the Baptist. Was John the Baptist's faith in vain when they took his head, cut his head off, and put his head in the platter? Was John the Baptist's head in vain? I ask you tonight, was those five Crown College students' lives in vain when we go to Crown College and look at the suits, and look at the notes, and look at the books, and look at their shoes, and look at their letters to Mama? Look at the letters to Mama. And we drive by and we look at Crown College and we think of these college students that were out serving God and crashed. Well, the truck crashed into them and they went up in flames. Singing for God. Singing for God. My Bible tells me to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Life is just a vapor. James 4:14. It appears for just a little time. Let me hear you say, puff of smoke. Let me hear you say, vapor from the tea kettle. Brother Johnson, will you tell them in your 60s? Would you tell them all it is a vapor? Would you please tell them how fast life goes by? Would you tell them, Sister Ruth, as you're getting older? Would you tell them it's like a vapor? Sister Regina, would you tell them that life goes by so fast? You're here today, you're going tomorrow. Let me hear you say eternity. The only thing that's going to last is what you do for Jesus. Let me hear you say forever. Let me say forever. Forever, Uriah is being honored. Forever, Uriah is being comforted. Forever, Uriah is with loved ones. Forever, Uriah is with Jesus. Forever, streets of gold, mansions bright. A place where there's no suffering. A place where there's no heartache. A place where there's no pain. Thank God we got brothers there. Thank God we got sisters there. Thank God we got moms there. Thank God we got dads there. To God be the praise. A place called heaven where angels are there. A place called heaven where Peter, James, and John are there. What place called heaven where Mary is there? What place called heaven where Elizabeth is there? A place called heaven where Noah is there? A place called heaven where Lot is there? A place called heaven where multitudes are there? And I see them singing and praising God far beyond the stars, far beyond the sun. There is a planet. Checking it out, and you see it too, and you just shake your head. Your mind just boggles, and they put on the news like it's nothing. Well, NASA's sending something up to Mars. Billions of dollars. Billions! Billions. United States of America, people are starving. They're hungry. You take it for granted that you have food. I wish I could shake us tonight. I want you to know there are people that are hungry. I want you to know there's kids that are, I want you to know kids that ain't even got enough food. I want you to know they go to bed hungry at night. I want you to know you might have enough, but I want you to know there's a mama, she's one in the house, who's going to have enough for her baby. I want you to know there's a mama, and she don't even know, and the cabinets are empty, and may God help us to get them saved, and feed them, and put clothes on them. Will somebody shout and say amen? And people are starving, killing each other for food. In the United States, they're killing. And they're sending people to Mars. Fully on Mars. Fully on Mars. Buddy, Mars is a stinking junk pick compared to heaven. And they ain't got one that could go up there. Jesus, I'm the only way there. Somebody say amen. John 14, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And receive you where I am, there you may be also. Streets of gold. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, some are going to lose rewards, some are going to earn rewards. Some are going to lose the ones that they had because they stick and quit on God. Don't quit now. It's crazy. These stupid idiots that go to Christian school, they serve God. Stupid idiots that go to Bible college and they graduate from Bible college. Dumb. Stupid. And they get some stinking whoremongering guy, punk, marries them, clean girl. He don't even go to church and wrecked their life and she don't serve God. Went and served God all through their Christian education. Went to Bible college. How stupid. How they die and lose all that they were. For all the working on their bus route, all the Sunday school teaching, all the honoring their parents, and stick and blow it. Preachers have pastored and have preached to others and become castaways. And Paul says, I don't want to lose my reward. Paul, now you can't lose heaven. Don't panic. All God's people go to heaven. All God's people don't get the same rewards. Look up here. Some, God says he's going to wipe the tears from their eyes. They're going to heaven, but God, they're going to be weeping. They're going to be wailing. They're going to be crying. God's going to wipe those tears away. You watch. You watch. There's going to be people who say, I wish I was faithful on Sunday night when others didn't want to come. I thank God you don't let them discourage you. I praise God you're your own man's man. I praise God you don't serve God because somebody... You know, the most discourager... Look at me, kids. The most discouraging... Hey, look at me. Look up here. The most discouraging thing that can happen in your life, you start looking at people. People are your biggest discourager. Unfaithful people. You better learn to do what you do for God rather than to praise a man. That devil make you think, well, you don't want to do anything in church. The Bible tells me there's rewards in heaven. The Bible says they're going to be shining, there's going to be mansions. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. There's going to be degrees of authority. Everybody's mansion is not going to be the same. What will the heaven be like? We'll notice the way that people live, what they have. Their glorified body may not be shining as bright. I don't know what it is, but for eternity, somebody would say, this is Orion. This is John the Baptist. He got his head cut off. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They won't go in the fiery furnace. Good man. This is Daniel throwing the lion's den. Good man. This is Stephen. And he's preaching to him. Thank you. You all got mad at me, but thank you for not biting me. Praise God, don't come biting me. We had one leaving. Well, we had one leaving. I don't understand, Brother Johnson. How can we feed people, love people, bring them out of the cold, and they leave mad talking about the preacher? Eating as good cooking as my wife make, and you make, and Sister Johnson make. And we're going to warm van, griping. I don't remember about the preacher. Now, she was mad at me. Good preaching either make people mad, sad, or glad. She was mad. One blurt, I'm Pentecostal. I'm a Pentecostal too. I believe in the Holy Ghost too. Pentecost in the Bible, the right way. Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, not the sticking jibber jabbering, tongue speaking, tongue talk, snake handling. Hello! By the way, if they got the power to do the miracles, why don't they go down to the funeral home and raise the dead? Why are they picking a snake? Gonna bite you. Somebody say amen. Why don't they go down to the children's? Hey, why don't they go down to the children's hospital and help those little children? Why don't they raise them old folks, keep them, get them out of their bed? Yeah, listen to me. Uriah's faith was not in vain. Stoning Stephen, thank you, Holy Spirit, helping me. And Stephen's getting stoned, and they're biting on him, they're stoning him. Stones are hitting his head, and no doubt blood, and he's being stoned. And the Bible says when he looked at Stephen in Acts, there in chapter 7, you can read chapter 6 and read chapter 7. The Bible says, when God says in His Word, when they looked at Stephen, he looked like the face of an angel, shining like an angel. And they stoned this angel-looking preacher. And while he's being stoned, can you imagine this? He's saying, Lord, lay not this sin to the charge, forgive them. Could you imagine this? As he was dying, his last words were, forgive them, they know not what they do. He's a better man than all of us. He's a better man than Pastor Barnett. Hello? I mean, you say, God, hang over hell, please. No, I wouldn't, by the grace of God, with God's help. But my own human flesh would do it. Right? Isn't that right? But with God's help, we would say, lay down their sin to the charge. Save them, Lord. Don't let them go to hell. Can I ask you a question? Was Stephen's faith in vain? Bus driver with your broken heart tonight, is your faith in vain? Van driver tonight, is your faith in vain? Sunday school teacher tonight, is your faith in vain? Pastor Barnett, is your faith in vain? Let me tell you something, when your heart's broken, and when things don't turn out right, and God doesn't seem like He's answering your prayers the way you want Him to answer it, and things don't go well, and you have a bad day, let me tell you something, I got to remember, by the grace of God, I have what I have, and I've been blessed with my wonderful wife, I've been blessed with my wonderful family, I've been blessed with my wonderful church, I've been blessed with life, my friends are in jail, my friends in prison, my friends have died, God has spared my life, God has I could be a drunk tonight. I could be a dope head tonight. How many times have my wife can have baby daddy 1, baby daddy 2, baby daddy 3, baby daddy 4 tonight? My wife can have a husband that beats on her tonight. My wife can have a drunk. My wife tonight. And let me tell you something. It's by the grace of God. My wife has what she has, and she knows it. And I praise God, and she praise God for it. We look at our house, we praise God. We look at our car, we praise God. We look at the van, we praise God. We look at the things we're having to drive. We praise God. Let me tell you something. I'm not better than anybody. It's by the grace and mercy of God. We are what we are. I mentioned those 19-year-old girl for a reason this morning. You know I mentioned her. So you know the reason why I brought her up. You know I brought that girl up. And I thought about it because I read the paper. And it's around Thanksgiving time. And that mother that got shot and killed in a drive-by shooting, they showed a picture of them twin babies. The poor girl's 20 years old, whatever. Well, 4 kids. Who is a 20-year-old in this room? Who's 20? Would you raise your hand, Christiana? Could you imagine Christiana Burley? Can you imagine these girls? Well, 4 kids. Just having twins. Who else is 20? Can you imagine Kiki? Could you imagine Christiana? 4 kids, twins? But the sad part, to see you hanging around the wrong crowd. And see you get killed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Joy? How's that as a Christian college? Can you imagine Becky? 4 kids? If they have 4 kids, twins? And then got killed and died. There's nothing funny about it. I want you to pay attention. There's nothing funny about this. Really, really. There's a time to laugh, but I want you to be serious. I didn't bring this up so you can have a laughing time. I brought this up so you can thank God. It's by the grace of God it didn't happen to you. It's by the grace of God it hadn't happened to you. So that me and Brother Burley can leave rejoicing and praising God, and Sister Barnett can clap her hands and praise God, and Brother Johnson can lift his hands up and say, hallelujah, praise God, have a spell. Sister Camille can say, it's by the grace of God. It's not that our kids are any better. I wish that girl had this preaching that I preach. I wish this girl had the Sunday school teachers. I wish she had an OBC, had their parking lots packed in OBC. Talking about, I wish instead of she went to OBC, she went to GBBC. Somebody say amen. I wish she had the opportunity and had a preacher that would preach against sin. Maybe preach against that dope, preach against that liquor, preach against that whoring around and not being married, preach against the different men sleeping with in the wrong couple, preach against the nightclubs, preach against the way you dress, the way you look, who you should date. I wish to God they had a parent like the parents were raising up in our church that produced the Bible college students that we have produced tonight, and the young people that sing and serve God tonight. Somebody shouts amen. They're not sinless. And they'll tell you they'll have their problems. But I guarantee you we've saved them from that stinking garbage life. We've saved you from being beat on. I wish to God you leave here praising God and thinking good, thinking how good God's been to you tonight. Just thinking about where Liz can be. Where Jessenia can be. I can just think about these ones going older. Jimena, I believe what keeps driving you back here is you know the grace of God and the mercy of God has been so good to you. You know it. I'll tell you what you do, Jimena. You go soul winning with us. You work your way up to be a Sunday school teacher. You work your way up. You work your way up. You work your way up to be a bus worker and pack that bus out for God, Jimena. I know you can do it. I believe you can pack a whole bus out. I believe you can get kids on that bus. I believe you can pack a whole bus. We'll be glad to use you on that bus. But I tell you, Jimena, it's cold. Well, it's easy for Candace to get out there in the cold this morning. Man, JT, Elijah, Cheyenne. We open the gate. Nobody's there. The gate is cold. Elijah goes push on the gate. JT comes behind him. Madman comes too. While Candace is trying to stay warm in the car. And I be the foreman. No, I'll get out and push the gate at that. And I'll go looking for the bus number. Get in a cool bus. All right, Sister K? Sister Camille? All right. Had it been days, Kiki was sick. Not feeling good, the cold to your body. Sister Barnett will feed the rescue mission. Brother Johnson, Sister Johnson. Early. Laboring. Yeah. Is your faith in vain? Is it vain? No. No, God's keeping record. God's keeping record. Is Danny's faith in vain tonight at Hiles Innocent College? Being a diabetic? Working all night during the week to pay his college bills while others get free scholarships? Work all night? Go to class in the morning? Preaching chapel during the day? Clean cut shirt and tie? girls with their lovely dresses on every day. Supposed to have a chaperone with your girlfriend. You're not supposed to be alone in the car. Don't supposed to be. Keep doing it, get kicked out of the Bible college. Supposedly. If the rules aren't enforced. If they're watching dirty movies, it doesn't stop. Kicked out of the Bible college. Universities, they accept them and bring in the wicked pornography and everything else. And actually give you a good grade for exploring porn. Maybe. Maybe not to that extent. But naked art, whatever. Is his faith in vain? Working a job? Pay a school bill? Working on a bus route all through the day, Saturday? Sunday morning, early Sunday morning? Some of you can't even stop talking. While a preacher preaches long. It's close to midnight our time. Where you at, Danny? Working on a bus route. Chicago. Most dangerous place in the United States of America. One of the most dangerous places. People dying every day. Fire department has to, the police and the fire department has to walk the kids to school. A lady was crying because her granddad was killed on his way, robbed. The old man took his wallet. She was crying. Chicago. Joy's life was in jeopardy 2 weeks ago, last week, whatever. God spared her life. Spared her. I believe he did. She was very wise. She was very wise to hide herself. Mingle with the spray of bullets almost died in Shauna that we'll be visiting this week, this coming weekend, Lord willing. We're sprayed with bullets by the gang. Mingle, I tell you, the bullets came right by her. The bullets are flying everywhere. Spray of bullets on the bus route. Is Daddy's faith in them? Wants to be a missionary. Wants to leave our country, go to Mexico. Get people saved there. Is his faith in vain? Let's get a needle, insulin, in his body. He can say, why me, Lord? Why do I got to take a needle every day? He's stronger than I am. I don't know what I'll do if I had to take a needle every day. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know if I can do it. I'm going to be upfront with you. Yet you never know Danny's a diabetic. Yet you got some can't even come to Sunday school. Can't even make it. Can't even make it to church on Sunday night. Can't even put it in their schedule 1 hour. Brother Worley, how long are we out there? 1 hour on Thursday night. Sometimes not even an hour. Sometimes we get frustrated at times, bro. Spoiled brats we are. I'm asking us during Thanksgiving time, Thursday's our soul winning night, and once you spend time with family, I wonder how many people's going to take get the hour in this week. Our stinking, selfish, wicked hearts. I said our selfish, wicked heart. I said pleasures of our own self. I said a nation that's unfaithful, and God has been good to us. In return, we should at least go get somebody saved, get somebody on a bus. In return, we should say, if you want me to be a Sunday school teacher, I'll be a Sunday school teacher. In return, if you want me in that choir, I'll get in that choir. In return, I'll sing a solo. I'll do what God wants me to do. Hey, boys, are you listening to me? If God wants you to be a missionary, if God wants you to be a preacher, surrender. Do what God wants. Do what God wants. My wife said, I will never be a preacher's wife. Don't say never, girls. Don't never say never. Because when God got a hold of her heart, she surrendered. She's a preacher's wife. You'd be shocked how many of these girls would dread being a preacher's wife. You'd be shocked how many of these girls would dread being a pastor's wife. There's no higher calling than being a pastor. There's no higher calling than, let me tell you something, than being a preacher's wife. A servant of God. There is no higher position in life. You'd be shocked. I don't want to know boyfriend like mine, preacher like mine, Sunday school teacher like mine. You think I want some boyfriend all spiritual like that? Shoot, I can see him now saying, no, cut that wicked movie off. I can see him now saying, we ought to go soul. I can see him now saying, we got to be coming to church faithful. I can see him now. Have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? I can see him now. We can't have this wine. We can't go to the movies. Some of them don't want no Christian spiritual man. It's the last thing they want. They want a little cool cat. They're going to find out they wish they had somebody spiritual. Somebody say amen. You don't have to be a preacher. He doesn't have to be a pastor. But that man should love God. That man should serve God. That man should have a heart of God. And you, every one of you girls ought to dream of a man that loves Jesus, that loves God, that wants to serve God. Because if he loves God, he'll know how to treat you. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a big problem. That sneaky stuff you got on your phone, that sneaky stuff you got in your laptop and your TV. Let me tell you something. You're going to get two of you like that. It's going to be a bomb. There's going to be a bomb. There's going to be some fighting going on. Hello? There's going to be some fighting going on. You get two of them like you, two God robbers. If you don't give 10%, and he don't give 10%, let me tell you something. If you, both of you rob God, there's no telling what you do to each other. Somebody help me. Can't give a lousy 10%. Can you imagine that? A lousy, a tithe. Let me say tithe. Some people can't give a lousy 10%. Could that be the reason why you're in the shape you're in tonight? Some of you? Don't get me wrong. Every one of us is going to get in a bind. But you need to get God, help God. You need to God get me out of this sticking mess. Amen. And the way God's going to get you out of this sticking mess, you're going to tithe. Amen. You're going to give offerings. Amen. I said give offerings. Amen. By the way, let's stop saying, I gave the money to the church. Stop it. The church is just a clearinghouse. Stop it. We give to God. We support the church. What you do for the church, you do it for God. Bills got to be paid. Mortgage got to be paid. Sound equipment's got to be paid. We think that van came and just run on water. Think Brother Bill is just running his water and running and use his van and picking up people. It takes money. It takes money. And all right, Brother Johnson, it takes money. How dare you not tithe? How dare you not give? Everybody got it tough. How dare you? There's nothing wrong with a big screen, but God pity your stinking heart. You don't tithe. You don't give an offering. There's nothing wrong with a nice car, but God pity your stinking heart. You don't tithe. You don't give. There's nothing wrong with a nice house, but God pity your stinking wicked soul. God pity your wicked stinking heart. Well, the lady said, I ain't never in my life heard a preacher like that. Eating the food, the rescue mission person. Eating the food we gave him. I ain't never heard a preacher preach that like that. Well, it's good she finally met a preacher of the Bible. A good one. To try to keep you straight. People that like this type of preaching, it'll make you something good in your life. You wonder why people are not happy. How are you going to be happy living for yourself? Tonight, it scares me. They don't know where they're headed. It scares me. Pray that God open their eyes. They're going to wish they were like Ariah. They're going to wish they thought about the Ark of Israel, where the Word of God is. They're going to forget about where the presence of God in church. I'm scared. Pray with me. I'm scared for what's going to happen to them. Please pray that they'll wake up. Please pray. I know what's going to happen. I don't think you cannot live for yourselves and ignore God. I see what happened to the nation of Israel when they forsook God. I see when they forsook the Bible. I see when they live for themselves. I don't want our nation to be destroyed by the other country. I love our nation. I love our country. But God is only going to take so much of the sodomy and homosexual and lesbian. And God's only going to take so much of the killing of the babies, of abortion. God is only going to take so much of people forsaking the house of God and robbing him of tithes and offerings. There's a curse that comes upon a nation. There's a curse that comes upon a people. Oh my God, would you help these people to understand why I preach long, why I sweat, why I scream, why I cry, why I holler? Jails are filled. Prisons are filled. Sons and daughters are weeping to mama. I wish I'd have listened to you. I wish I'd have listened to my pastor. I wish I'd listened to the preacher. I said this morning, Brother Johnson, It's hard to find a man 25 years old that can be a president of the United States of America. And these girls, I tell you, it's hard to find one. They have no character. And no, and I'm not talking about comparing them to the ones that are doing a sloppy mess up in the White House. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about one that got it together. Like Hezekiah. Find me some. It's hard to find them. There are some. And I thank God they're there. But we need more. But find me a 25-year-old young lady that can be Hezekiah's wife. Love God. Serve God. Encourage him on the serve. Got her act together. Tear down some groves. Tear down some high places. Some of you that have been reading your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. You that don't read your Bible, you need to start reading it. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Tonight, I want you to know your faith is not in vain. Tonight, I want you to think about how good God's been to you. Tonight, I want you to think about those that have suffered that's been far better than us. They have problems bigger than we have. That love. Can I tell you that she loved the Lord? And can I tell you she loved God? And can I tell you tonight her husband walked out on her? And can I tell you tonight the husband walked out on her and left her with the kids? And tonight it's by the grace and mercy of God it hasn't happened to you. And tonight it's by the grace and mercy of God my wife hasn't walked out on me and left me with 12 kids. Barnett kids, your mother's been faithful. Are you understanding? They know their mother's been sleeping with some other man. She's cheating on her husband. They're not stupid. Tonight, do you know there's a grieving boy because his daddy was unfaithful to the mother and sleeping with another woman? They're not stupid. They grieve. They're suicidal. Their parents are divorced. I not only hurt God if I decide to sin and wreck my life, I hurt my wife. I hurt my kids. I hurt you, dear people. Young people, you break your parents' heart. You break your daddy's heart. Pastor Jack Hiles wept and cried. I've done it too, but he done it and he cried. This girl had her act together. And she says, Pastor, I'm pregnant. And he wept. He said this girl's life is more important to him than the United States Empire State Buildings and tall buildings of Chicago and millions and billions of dollars in all of these cities, skyscrapers. He said one teenage girl's life is more important to him than all the material things of this world. You can replace these buildings, but you can't replace what this girl could have had in her future. One of the best that you never thought would be sleeping around. Some boy brought her down. I have wept. I have cried. You do not live alone. You do not stand alone. When I die, I want to be faithful like Uriah the Hittite. I want to finish my course. I want to run this race. And I want Jesus to say, well done, a faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to encourage you. No matter what you go through, I want to encourage you that God will reward you. There's a reward for the righteous, the Bible says. The Bible says there are crowns. The Bible says, for you young people, that I try to comfort your hearts. Because many of you are thinking about now and you're not thinking about tomorrow. And you're really not really thinking about 10 years from now, but it's going to be here before you know it. God said in this lifetime, you will receive manifold of blessings. And in the life to come. On this planet Earth, God will reward you. You don't think God's going to reward? JT, you don't think there's a reward for going out into the cold gate? Elijah, you don't think there's a reward for going out to the cold gate? To open the gate?